Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, April 4th, 2017, and with me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I am a little hoarse, just getting over a cold. I'm much better, though.
If you're a little hoarse, is that not a pony?
Well, it's ponying up a lot of phlegm.
Hey, Brian Chaffin's here, too. How are you, Brian?
I'm a little honeybee today.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I see what you did there. Boy, we are just a basket full of hilarity this morning.
We are. And hey, we'll be here all week. Don't forget to tip your servers. Eero, they are our sponsor today. And that's pretty cool. They do the Wi-Fi mesh network setup thing that I'm using. We'll talk about them in a little bit. But before we get to that, it turns out that Apple gave us some stuff to talk about today. And so it's all like interesting news. We have an update for the Mac Pro, sort of. We have an announcement from Apple that new Mac Pros are coming. And I mean, so we actually have an announcement from Apple saying that they are working on new Mac Pros. So that's new and different. We know that new iMacs are coming that have features that focus on pro users. And anyhow, so that's the quick version so that everyone has a little place to start from as we dive into all this. So what happened was Apple invited five people from different online publications to come to their Mac research and development facility in Cupertino. And they set, and when I say they, it was Phil Schiller, Craig Federighi, and I just forgot his name. He's the vice president that's in charge of
John hardware engineering.
Thank you. And so everyone sat down at a table at the R&D center and talked about the future of the Mac Pro, which was so weird because it's like we're in bizarro world where Apple is a transparent company that shares their product roadmaps.
So, I haven't been this giddy in a long time. It made my day this morning.
So why did it make your day, John?
Well, you know, we've been in such pain for so long, and Apple had lingered, and it had been, what, how many days, Brian? 1,200 days since the Mac Pro 2013 was announced, and we were wondering what Apple was going to do. And there was just so much negativism and downer, and we were wondering what was going to happen. And the product lingered on in the stores as it was years ago without a price reduction, as you've pointed out. And everybody was just sort of in a funk. And then we wake up this morning and we look at the news and we go, wow, new commitment, new product. And it's a big discussion about why they did it the way they did it and how they're doing it, but it's here. And the announcement's been made and there's joy in Macville, Mac Proville.
Well, maybe.
Is there really?
I think yes. There's joy in certain circles.
I think that, yeah, and those circles are in Stockholm, and they all have got the Stockholm syndrome.
Well, it's not too late. I know where you're going with this. You're going to say the believers have already left, but my feeling is that
no, it's not what I'm going to say at all. What I'm going to say is that Apple's still got to prove something, man. They haven't done anything. They haven't done anything yet. They said they got some stuff coming. They've got some stuff coming that should have been coming 3 years or 2.5 years ago. Right, I mean, so Apple still
has water under the bridge. Well, we already endured that pain.
No, but it's not. We're still in that water. The bridge is still passing over us. No, but what, show me the new Mac.
Show me
the new Mac that fixes everything.
They had a big meeting. They brought in those five editors. They had the
chief
of hardware engineering there for the Mac, and they had an announcement to make. And they said, "Okay, now we're back on track." That's what we needed. That's what we wanted to hear. The way they did it's kind of weird. It took them too long, but they did it.
Listen, I will give you that having this morning's announcement was in fact a joyous improvement over the awful, heinous state that we've been living in as Mac users for like the last 2 years. But Apple still has to prove. My only point is that Apple still has to prove that they can actually do what they say.
Do you doubt they have the engineering expertise to pull it off? Sounds like you do.
I'm actually a little more concerned about the vision. I mean, you know, the trash can Mac Pro was not a very pro-ish machine, right? It's like, you know, it's like the Cube Redux, right?
I don't know. I got an email this morning from an astrophysicist who uses Mac Pros for general relativity and black hole research. And he said, John, look at this. And he's got two Mac Pros sitting on his desk. He uses OpenCL to exercise the vector processing in the graphics cards. Mm-hmm. And he's pushing his machine to the limits for advanced supercomputing-like calculations of black holes. So I wouldn't say that it's a complete bust.
Okay, so that interesting that you say what you did, John, and Brian, what you just said, because one of the things that that Phil Schiller was very candid about in this discussion that they had at their R&D facility is that the Mac Pro was kind of polarizing, and that's exactly what I'm seeing when I watch or listen to both of you talk today. There were people where the Mac Pro, it turns out it was a really good computer for whatever it is that they needed to do. But then there was this other camp of people where it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And I think the big problem is that because of the way it's designed, there was no way to take that computer and easily turn it into whatever the machine was that the other pros needed. And
exactly. You stated that very well, Jeff. That's exactly right.
And
right. And so that's going to be the challenge going forward, Apple. Maybe that's why the word modular kind of crept into the discussion.
Oh, hold on to that point right there, John, because that's where I was headed. You said modular. And I want to talk about our sponsor, and then we're going to come right back to that. So our sponsor today is Eero, and they make the wireless Wi-Fi mesh setup that I'm using in my place. And so what that means is that you get more than one base station, and they work together without you having to pay attention to which actual base station you're connected to. They do everything in the background so that you're connected to the best one of the units so that you get the best signal you can based on where you are. In relation to them. So they appear as just a single Wi-Fi base station to all your devices. And as they're jumping around from station to station, it's just kind of this almost magical thing that simply works. And what I found is that because of the way Eero created their product, first it was really easy to set up, but then it becomes this thing where I don't even think about the fact that this is the setup that I have. It just is, and it just works. And one of the things that I'm loving is that in a recent software update to their iPhone app, they added in the ability to have your Eero system send you notifications when new devices pop up. So that's a way for you to sort of have like a proactive audit of who's on your network. And it's a cool way to know if someone has maybe like figured out what your Wi-Fi network password is and is on your network when they're not supposed to be. And you can actually bump people off your network. So you have this ability to take a more proactive level of control over what's happening on your network right from your iPhone. And I just love that in addition to this thing being transparent and just doing what it's supposed to, that I can stay on top of what devices are on my network at any time. It just works. I absolutely love it. So here's the deal. I would love for you guys to go check this out because everyone should have a good Wi-Fi network because like water, like air, we need Wi-Fi to survive. So you can head over to the Eero website, and that's Eero.com, and you can check out the three-pack. That's what I have. So it's three of the base stations that all work together, and that's $399. And that's actually important because they've dropped the price $100. It used to be $499. So $100 price drop, and they're going to keep it at that level. This is not like a special price for 6 weeks or anything. This is just what it costs now. So I'm glad they lowered the price. It makes it more affordable for everyone. If all you need is to have a two-pack, that's $299, $50 off what it used to be. So go check it out, Eero.com. And you can also pick up Eero's products at Best Buy or Amazon. So thank you, Eero, for being our sponsor. All right. So I said, remember that word modular. John, I think that was Apple telegraphing what it is that they want to do with this new Mac Pro. And I think what this means is they are completely abandoning the cylinder design. I mean, we already know that they essentially screwed themselves from a thermal standpoint because they found out there's really nothing else they can do in that cylinder beyond what they've already done. So they're going to ditch that, and they're going to create a new Mac Pro that is easier to upgrade, easier to expand, and by extension, much easier for people to turn into the pro machine that they need as opposed to the pro machine Apple says they want.
Yeah, that's a nice turnaround. I'm sure Apple's heard from their customers in spades about what they need from a pro perspective in terms of expandability and in terms of the design and the ports and so on. So I'm sure they've heard the story, as you described in the first segment, about how there's different users, different levels of pros. Some people like a lean, small, powerful machine. Some people want great expandability with lots of extra storage and drives, expandability. And so that word modular, as you said, is exactly right. That's the telegraphing that Apple intends to make the machine more malleable for the needs of its pro users. Hooray!
You know, to me, this is very promising. And I like what I'm hearing from Apple, but I've got a little of Brian in me also, and I am so skeptical because we've gone so long without anything, and giving me words without anything tangible to back that up doesn't make me feel completely confident that we're going to see this magical machine that's going to redeem Apple in the eyes of pro desktop users.
Well, all right. So let me back up a little bit. I have hope and at least some confidence that Apple's going to do what John knows that they're going to do. Mm-hmm. My only point originally was that Apple has to prove it. Right. Apple doesn't get a free pass from me on this until I see something. And, you know, we're still talking what is supposed to be sometime next year. Right. I mean, so we've still got a long way to go before this machine's released.
True.
And the whole thing is an embarrassment. Apple doesn't get a pass for that. You know, the situation that we're in is just intolerable. It's intolerable. It's incredibly annoying, and Apple doesn't get a free pass from me on this. And when they ship a product, because remember Steve Jobs told us the great artists ship, mm-hmm. right? When Apple shows that it has some great artists, and then it can ship this thing, and it's awesome and it's fantastic, I am going to be one happy camper.
I'll be very happy too.
Well, I think you're thinking in terms of a burst mode where it'll be silence and then all of a sudden the product will be announced and shipped. But we know that's not the way Apple does things. I expect over the next year or so, even though it's probably going to be made in the United States and probably made in Austin, probably. Well, here's
Apple
some
isn't
things.
Saying they were asked I know. Specifically. But
right,
not saying.
Right. So we'll hear some glimmers. We'll get little bits and pieces run out to us. Apple will probably do some leaks to get feedback. and see what how people respond to those. There may be an announcement, say, at next year's WWDC, where we'll get a preview of it, and then it'll ship, you know, in August or something. So I don't think it'll be as
that's a year and a half
square wave-ish as you think. I think it'll be more curvy.
All right, so I described this event in the article that I wrote for on Mac Observer as Apple doing damage control, because I feel like on some level that's exactly what this event, or well, this meeting was that they held, because they knew that they needed to do something to try and reinstill some confidence in their pro users. And I think that's what this event was about. I also think that's why they said, oh, and hey, we have iMacs with pro features, or features that are targeted to pro users, coming this year. So here's my take. I think Apple is getting this new iMac out sometime this year to appease a certain percentage of pro desktop users, and then telling everyone else, just be patient with us a little bit longer, because we have this other totally new pro Mac thing coming out next year. And here's where I'm going with this. Do you think that what Apple did today is too little too late?
No. I think they had a meeting. And they said to themselves, all right, we know Hewlett-Packard's coming after us with displays and desktops and the professionals and CAD and engineering. We know Microsoft is coming after us with the Surface Studio. We know that it looks like we're giving up on the pro market in certain circles in science, engineering, enterprise, design. Do we want to give up that market? Are we going to walk away from it, look bad, not have a Halo computer? And somebody said, no. We're not going to walk away from that market. We're going to jump back in. And they ended the meeting and said, okay, let's do it. And then I went to that fellow Turnus and said, all right, can you make that happen? He says, yeah, but I need a year. And they said, okay, we'll invite some people in and do damage control and tell the world we're going to fight for that market.
Yeah, and I can be a little more succinct. What are we going to do? Use Windows like animals? I mean, you know, it's not too much. It's not too little, too late. There's a difference between it being too little, too late and Apple having something to prove. Mm-hmm. Like the onus is on Apple to prove. I feel very strongly about that. But, you know, getting this interim semi update today. What is that shipping yet, by the way?
I don't know if it's shipping, but it's released on the website. Yeah. So listeners, what Brent's talking about, Apple said that the current Mac Pro is getting a minor update. So the 4-core model now has 6 cores for CPUs. The 6-core model now has 8 cores, and they are using different AMD GPUs.
So slightly upgraded Xeons, we think, which I would check on.
Yeah. So anyhow, Brian, sorry to interrupt.
The point is just gone. It's not too little, too late. There we go. How's that?
Okay.
I don't know what my point was. I was on to something really good, and then you completely derailed me, sucked all the wind out of my sails, and now I'm foundering. And be calmed. And
well, then, how about since we have just a couple minutes left, if I give you something else to talk about?
Okay.
And that'll be new display. Apple said that they're going to release a Pro display, and the implication is it's coming at the same time as the new MacBook Pro.
Yeah. Okay. So then, why get out of the display business in the first place? If you're gonna get out of the display business, why not get out of the display business in the first place? Why? Why did the cinema display rot? The studio display, whatever the crap Apple called that thing. Why did it rot? Why did they reassign their people? Why did they get out of the business if they're going to re-enter it? I'm glad they're going to re-enter it. I mean, did Dave craft a joke? Dave made a joke about what was that about the LG situation being a debacle. he used a little bit more colorful wording.
Right. But debacle, that's a colorful word too. Just in a different way.
I mean, it's hard to understand how we got here. I know John, in our meeting this morning, you talked about Mark Gurman's excellent, and I love Mark Gurman, talked about his excellent piece describing how some key people left and everything. But it's just, I mean, like, how did that even happen? How did we get here?
How did we get here? We're having the week talk that about explains this? It. I will explain all later in the week in my glorious editorial.
Excellent.
It has to do with getting inside the enemy's decision cycles. And for you military people out there.
And Tom Clancy fans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Brian, we're out of time, but here's my take on the display thing. Apple decided that they wanted to refocus their efforts in other places, so they got out of the display market. They teamed up with LG, and that turned out to be a boondoggle for them, and they realized that they made a mistake trusting someone else to partner and produce something that they wanted.
But this is Apple. So we're talking.
We could have told them. We could have told them. If only they'd have asked us, we could have told them, no, this is a bad idea.
They've done this. They've been here. I mean, this is...
What were they thinking, departments?
Yeah.
That's a good question. What were they thinking? I know what they're thinking now, which is, oh, crap, we made a mistake with that. We have to fix it. And, oh, man, we can't believe we engineered ourselves into a corner with the Mac Pro. We've got to fix this.
We can't believe LG shipped those displays without proper shielding.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Well, listeners, I'm curious. What do you think? Did Apple make you confident, or at least comfortable, that they are not abandoning the Pro market? And are you looking forward to whatever it is that they have coming out? I'm curious to hear what you guys think. So let me know. You can shoot me a tweet. That would be at TMO Daily. You can shoot me an email, observations@macobserver.com. And of course, you can leave comments in today's show notes, where I'll make sure that I do have a link to my piece where I offer my take on what happened with the R&D meeting. John, thank you for being here today.
I am talking to you on my 2013 Mac Pro. It still works. Yay.
Your words sound old, though. Brian, thank you for being here today.
Yeah, I'm talking to you from my 2015 iMac 5K, which I had to get because the 2013 iMac Pro was still being sold.
Yeah, and your words sound newer and fresher. I think mine sound newer still because I'm on the Touch Bar MacBook Pro.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. That would explain the freshness of your words.
Totally. Hey, Eero.
But what's happening is my Mac Pro is so fast, you're getting time dilation, and that's why my voice sounds more sonically stretched out.
That's John Doppler Martellaro.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Eero, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, Eero.com, and check out their Wi-Fi mesh network systems. They really are good. I am so pleased with mine, and I want you guys to be happy too. So that's Eero.com, and you can pick them up at Best Buy and Amazon as well. Wow. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.